are trying to do something about it. Let me then welcome all of you. We have a parliament from the Polo Community and Safety and Security, members of the police.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Vilatin. My name is Sam Mawate.
Thank you very much. Do you have problems with your program? If not, I'll just stop then. For this coming week, on the 21st of May, we're supposed to do the ICD. And then on the 23rd, we're supposed to do Secretariat and the Union. We will take the ICD from the 21st to the 28th. And then we'll take National Secretariat and the Union to the 21st. Yeah. Otherwise, if you do National Secretariat alone, you take 5 minutes to meet with you. Because there's nothing that I will get out of that. I know that I've been with them for many years. The Union and the National Secretariat together. Yeah. And then the ICP or the VA. Yeah, you're right. But no, it's Friday, man. Can't you tell me? Friday.
It's Wednesday.
Yes, it's Wednesday. That's right. Yeah, you're right. So there's nothing for Friday. Friday is 26th, yeah. There's nothing. This is a very good season. Nothing on Friday.
Can you arrange for Dal and to the bill, please?
Yeah. And secondly, maybe I should also inform you about the process on the general law amendment bill. As you are aware that before we adjourn for the constituency, we had a report of the committee where we put May aside, the whole of May aside, to deal with the bill, because we had that information that the bill would be in Parliament on the 22nd of March. But because of the delay, we had then to prioritize our budget hearing. And so that we wait when it comes to GDP, when it comes. Even now, on this program that we have now, it's only that it was already on the program. There is no guarantee that by that time it will be with us. If it comes tomorrow, the program is still tomorrow. So this is a draft program. If there is anything that you don't understand about this program, take your phone and call the chairperson and get a clarity from the chairperson. There is no way on earth where we can deal with this bill for 4 days or 3 days. That's impossible. Knowing the interests of the people on this bill are not prepared to do this. Even the party that deployed me to this committee is not prepared to do this. But unfortunately, when you do a program, you can't go beyond a constituency period if you don't have permission to do it. The only time when you can put it in the program is when you get a go ahead from Parliament that you can use the constituency period for this specific or whatever that affects the committee. If you want to use it in constituency period, you must also get the permission to do that. But because we should have having this bill by the 21st of March and it wasn't here, there was no way that we could pretend and say that doesn't exist. We need that to reflect on the progress that there's something like this which is coming, which you are going to deal with it. Even if it can take 6 months, we don't mind, we don't have a problem with it. But as long as we are going to have an effective legislation and a legislation that will be understood by everybody. I just wanted to explain to that. But unfortunately, we had to do the program for after the end of June. So if there's something beyond, even when we come back from the constituency period in August, if it means that we need to take the process ahead, we'll take the process ahead. But there is nothing that the portfolio committee really has dealt with. We're going to deal with everything that affects us. And also, members, I'm sure somewhere we need to have a meeting. The department will have to come back and brief us on the report of the auditor general on the border policy. Got this report. I went through that report yesterday. I felt that this is the time that I can't just ignore that report. You must sometimes come back so that the committee should understand what is taking place in the world. The capacity from the police to deal with the border. Because when we went to the borders, I think it was last year. When we went to the borders last year, as a joint committee to the borders, when we came back and reported to individual ministries, there were those who were not very much comfortable about the report that we brought from the borders. And what we brought from the borders is exactly what has been raised by the Auditor General. Everything that we came across, the Auditor General raised. So I think we need to have a meeting where we have to call the department to come and just give us a briefing on the border control, and also give us some sort of plan to try and address some of those issues that have been raised by the auditor and general. Welcome, Honorable Boy. We haven't I was just making a brief for the committee. Now, without waste of time then, for any other issue, then we'll discuss when the time goes on. We start then with we take the presentation from the committee or thing. And one thing that I also needed to explain, we received an apology that the ex-commissioner, not aware. It was explained in my office, but I know it's not ours to disclose as in it, but it is affected according to the information that was given to myself. That will affect any commissioner that will take responsibility of whatever to raise. So you're welcome. I understand that commissioner are like missing us very well. Over to you,
thank you, Chairperson. Our presentation is going to be made on the strategic overview by Commissioner Walker and on the figures and the facts and prominent aspects of the budget.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as Commissioner Singh indicated, I'll do the part of the strategic overview. Now, this SAT has a 5-year strategic plan from 2005 up to 2010, and emanating from this plan, we have on an annual basis, we have a one-year plan. Currently, we call this plan our one-year performance plan, and we have it for the 2008-2009 financial year. And this is what I'm going to talk to you on about. The most important constitutional, legislative, and functional and policy mandates are summarized as follows. Of course, we're looking at the constitution of our country, the Police Service Act, the Public Finance Management Act, Public Service Regulations, Treasury Guidelines, and also the Treasury Regulations, which are not included here, but it's of course very important. National Crime Combating Strategy, the goals and objectives of the JCPS cluster, and also the initiative of the integrated justice system. If one looks at the estimate of national expenditure, our performance information, that is the service delivery indicators, as contained in the 2008 estimate of national expenditure, the ERE, has been improved in an effort to increase the focus on the most relevant indicators of the department. In terms of the 2008 ENE, the guidelines, an average of 10 indicators per vote has been recommended for inclusion in the 2018 EDI. Therefore, the SAPs considered the measurable objectives for each program, sub-program and current output indicators contained in the 2007 EDI and the planning information for 2007-2008, that is our previous annual plan, to identify the most useful and relevant key indicators. Now, the following key performance indicators have been included in the 2008 EMP, and this has also been negotiated with National Treasury and agreed upon. We're looking at the detection rate for contact and property-related crimes. Conviction rate for contact and property-related crimes. Percentage of previous convictions reports generated within 30 days. Percentage of exhibits analyzed within 35 days. Rate of reduction of contact and property-related crimes. Percentage of security breaches in relation to security provided. The number of partnerships to prevent contact and property-related crimes. Number of police actions for contact-related crimes, property-related crimes, and crimes heavily dependent on police action for detection. But Madam Chair, I will go through all the programs within our annual performance plan, which has been submitted to Parliament and which has been tabled on the 22nd of April last month this year. We're first looking at program one, that is our administration program. I won't go through each of the objectives, but there you can see to provide for developing departmental policy and management, enhancing the department, including administrative support. If we look at the indicators there, the first indicator is developing of an annual HR plan for the 2008-2009 financial year. And this is, again, as I've explained, forward-looking. This plan will be on the table by the 31st of May this year. If we continue the percentage of employment equity ratio of the workforce, we're looking at a maintained employment equity ratio of 75-25, also in this financial year, by the end of the financial year. Percentage of employees using the performance management system, we say 95% of employees, this is our target, utilize the performance management system. If one continues, percentage of training provided in terms of the training provisioning plan, that's the TPP, then we broke this down. We said 90% of the operational training provided for the TPP, 80% for support training provided in terms of the TPP, 90% of management and leadership development training provided, and then 95% of entry-level training provided for the TPP. If I may continue, then we indicated the number of reported disciplinary cases finalized. Our target is to finalize 70% of reported disciplinary cases within 60 calendar days. Then the ratio of number of successful civil claims versus personnel strength of the service. We're looking at the ratio there, then we say decrease by 5% the ratio of number of successful civil claims versus personnel strength of the service. Again, a percentage of employees reach during the reactive and proactive EAS programs, that's employee assistance programs, we indicated they provide support to 100% of instances we request for support for members and their families occur. That's reactive, and then we also looking at the proactive part of it. We said 30% of SAPS personnel establishment in terms of the proactive part thereof. So 30% of the total establishment. If I may continue, finalize and approve SAPS' structure. We indicated there finalize the organizational structures, functional analysis, and post structures for all divisions, provinces, and stations by the 31st of March 2009. Personnel and resource expenditure versus operational expenditure. Maintain expenditure ratio of 73-27 for compensation and operational expenditure. Implementation of the capital investment and management and maintenance plan, we indicated there to be benchmarked over the next 2 years. Extent of the implementation of the service delivery improvement program, established service delivery improvement program plans and charters at all the divisional and provincial offices, and the 169 high contact crime stations by the 31st of March this year. So it must be at those stations, but I think this will be at more than the 169 stations. Extent of the implementation of risk management. We indicated they establish risk management at all the divisional and provincial offices and the 169 contact crime stations by the 31st of March 2009. At this stage, we have established it at least all the divisional commissioners' offices. Extent of the implementation of the corruption and fraud prevention plan. Integration of the corruption and fraud prevention plan into the operational plans at all levels by the 31st of March 2009. We have already started this year with this process. Then the number of cases, that is charges of corruption against police officials in terms of the Combating of the Corrupt Activities Act, the 2004 Act, in relation to the personnel strength of the SAPS to be benchmarked in 2008-2009, because previously we charged members for corruption related cases. In some instances, plain theft, we also indicated as corruption. Then, looking at program two, Madam Chair, the objective there is to discourage all crimes through providing a proactive and a responsive policing service that will prevent the priority crime from increasing. If one looks at the output there, visible crime deterrence and indicator the number of partnerships to prevent contact and property related crimes. Our target is the initiative established at the 169 high contact crime stations and also other stations. So it will not just include the 169 stations for this financial year. The number of police stations, police actions for contact crimes, property related crimes, and crimes dependent on police actions for detection. Our target there is actions undertaken at the 169 contact crime stations and other stations. We look there at recovery of 85% stolen lost firearms, 85% rate of the recovery of firearms that were lost and stolen in our country, that we can measure. Recovery of 46% stolen and or robbed vehicles within our country, and then maintain increased quantity of drugs seized. We don't know the quantity of drugs in the country. Then we looked at the number of high contact crime stations where sector policing is being implemented. Then our target is sector policing implemented at the 169 high contact crime stations. Then the rate of reduction of contact crimes. We looked at all the contact crimes, which include murder, rape, and various others. Contact crimes to be reduced by 7% per annum. And we're also looking at reducing the number of escapes from custody, attacks on police officials, the murder or killing of police officials, and acts of violence against the farming community. And we indicated it should be decreased within this financial year. Extent of crime at South Africa's land and sea borders, air borders, we indicated maintain or increase. Those are crimes, for instance, drug-related, firearms-related, vehicle-related, and various others. Number of interventions in the medium risk operations, and also the number of interventions on high risk operations. We indicated they maintain or increase. As it happens, we will intervene. Then moving to the detective program, that is program 3. One looks at the objective is to contribute to the successful prosecution of crime by investigating, gathering, and analyzing related evidence, and thereby preventing the priority crime detection rate from increasing. If one looks at the indicators, there is the percentage of contact crimes in respect of the charges, cases to court, the detection rate thereof, and the committee will recall about 2 years ago, you indicated that we must also look at the conviction rate. And what we have also indicated is undetected cases. In other words, we say if the less undetected cases there are, the more there are cases we send to court in terms of also looking at the detection rate and the conviction rate. And each of those, they have their percentage, cases to court 59%, 53%, 19%, and the undetected one, we will benchmark that. We will also look at the 5-year period. Percentage of contact-related crimes in respect of also cases to court, detection rate, conviction rate, and also undetected. Now, just the difference between the two, the one I indicated, the contact crimes are murders, attempted murders, rape, attempted rape, and assault, DBH, etc. And the contact-related crimes are malicious injury to property, for instance, or arson. Those are the two contact-related crimes. And we've broken this down in terms of percentage of property-related cases to court. And there, those, we use the same indicators, but measuring those specific crimes, like housebreaking, etc. We also use the same indicators, percentage of crimes heavily dependent on police action for detection in respect of cases to court, detection rate, and the conviction rate. And there you can see the targets we have set for that. Now, these cases also relate to cases where police stop and search and find firearms or recover firearms, recover stolen vehicles, recover drugs, recover other stolen properties. That is normally heavy dependent on police action. Okay, percentage of other serious crimes in respect of the same indicators. We look there at normal theft, shoplifting, theft out of motor vehicle, theft from motor vehicles. This doesn't include theft of motor vehicles because it's included somewhere else already. Percentage of all serious crimes combined. Now, all the crimes above, we combine them into one, and this is the percentage of cases we're looking at, the detection rate, the conviction rate, and also, as I've explained, the undetected part of it. Percentage of all serious crimes combined is, I've explained that, and then percentage of commercial crimes charges to court. We're looking at cases to court, the detection rate, the conviction rate, and also undetected, and we indicated that the conviction rate and the undetected rate, we will benchmark it, looking at previous year's information. If we continue with program 3, percentage of organized crime-related cases to court, we indicated 25%, and then continuing percentage of charges, that is cases to court of sexual offenses and assault against women 18 years and above, and that includes a whole host of cases like murder, attempted murder, rape, and we indicated there 40%, and the detection rate of all those cases, again, we indicated that, and we said 42%, and that we've calculated looking at previous year's information. And also a percentage of charges cases to court of sexual offenses and assault against children under 18. And also all those cases like murder, attempted murder, etc. We indicated 30%, and the detection rate, we indicated 40% also for all those cases already mentioned, or crimes already mentioned. If I can continue with program 3, detection rate regarding charges cases of corruption against police officials in terms of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, we indicated there to be benchmarked. As I've already mentioned, previous reports indicated corruption-related cases, like for instance, burglary or housebreaking, or in some instances even murder cases. Now we're looking solely at the Prevention of Corrupt Activity Act, which explains the crimes which constitute corruption, and all which I've spoken about, is explained in our one-year plan, which has been tabled in the implementation guidelines, and this is the plan which we have tabled on the 22nd of April, as already mentioned. Then looking at the conviction rate regarding charges cases of corruption against police officials in terms of, again, of the new act. Again, we will, because we started implementing the new act the previous year, we will have to have the information so that we can compare the information with previous years. Percentage of offenders' previous convictions reports generated within 30 days. We've got 85% within 30 days, and then percentage of exhibits analyzed within 35 days, we indicated 92% analyzed within 35 days. That is the end of program 3, the presentation on program 3. If we look at program 4, crime intelligence part, the objective is to contribute to the neutralization of crime by gathering, collating, analyzing intelligence information that leads to an actionable policing activity. In other words, what we stand to about. We looked at the first indicator is the number of operations conducted to neutralize the threats. We indicated there to maintain or increase, and the number, the other one is the number of crime intelligence products. Now, it doesn't look a lot, but if you look at the implementation guidelines and the annual report, it says a lot again, chairperson, we're looking forward this financial year which we are in at this stage. If we move then to program 5, protection and security services, we're looking at the objective to minimize security violations by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing strategic interests. If one looks at the first indicator, percentage of security breaches in relation to security provided, we said to maintain or increase, percentage of security breaches in relation to security provided, maintain or increase, and we also look at a percentage between 89 and 90 safe delivery in terms of safe delivery of valuable cargo. I think our last indicator was too robust. We indicated 100%. I'm not sure whether we will make 100%, but this has been agreed with Treasury and it has been debated. The extent of crimes at ports of entry and exit, again, maintain or increase because we don't know how many drugs are coming in the country. So the more we get, the better it looks for us. Property crimes, right in the rail environment, maintain or increase. We have to build the database again to benchmark or to compare of what we have already previous years information. If we then continue extent of compliance with institutional framework, and that is again to maintain or increase. Again, chairperson, this is explained in our document. Then, looking at our key strategic initiatives, we're looking at the crime combating strategy, the organized crime approach, and the functional approach, the firearm strategy, which look at, for instance, the recovery, how to trace firearms, etc. Crimes against women, the strategy, the reactive part and the proactive part, prevention of attacks and killing of police officials, again, we have a strategy to prevent, to detect and to investigate. The corruption and fraud prevention plan, looking also at the prevention part, the detection part, the investigation part and the restoration part of it. But it included the risk, the corruption and fraud, we have already indicated that. The risk management strategy, looking at what risks there are, where are we at risk, having implemented risk management, having a national risk register for the staff, and currently for each province and for most of the divisions, and training station commissioners and also training trainers in terms of risk management and also the rest of the strategies. The training will end by the end of August and we will have enough people trained, especially station commissioners, so that they know what's happening. And that includes also the service delivery improvement program. That covers, for instance, our service delivery indicators in terms of the bar to pele, the looking at the front office and the back office, the front office being the implementation part, the like the CSC, the detective, back office supporting the front office, and projects like Project KDU. Chairperson, then this is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Members of the police, members of parliament, there is the
take finances when we are at home. I will be guided by your hands. I recognize Honorable Kim, Honorable Kolaban, Kadimuruti, Honorable Nusine. Yeah. Over to you, Honorable Kim.
Chairperson, program one administration target, maintain the employment equity ratio 75-25. Can you spell out for us what that 75-25 means, please? Is it, does it include what groups does it include? Indian, colored, blacks, whites, please. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of questions about the recovery of stolen vehicles. I'm interested in the recovery of South African vehicles being held in bordering countries. They're obviously frequently in contact with owners who know their vehicle is there, sitting in Namibia. And in one instance, a little old lady had a pass of maybe 2.5 years, and they would not give it back until I got quite rude, and then suddenly it was released. Do we have some sort of ongoing contact with these people, and how are we facilitating returning of South African vehicles to this country? The looking at the detection rates, they're sometimes quite high, and yet inevitably following on that, the conviction rates are extremely low. Now, is this a reflection? You've got three options as far as I can see. Is it a reflection of bad detective work or bad presentation of staff members in court, or of the public prosecutors? Where are we falling down, and what needs improvement here? Now, you also previously put out the figure that 80% of attacks on individuals are by someone close to them, a family member or a friend, colleague, somehow, and yet very low arrest rates there. How is this possible? Can you try and explain that one? And then looking finally at the crime intelligence, I'm wanting to know if your intelligence division was involved in the Jackie Chalebi investigation. Because if you weren't, and now that the ANC intends to kill off the scorpion, I'm looking at who's going to police the police. Do you see yourselves investigating yourselves? I mean, that's just not a possibility. I don't understand who will be doing this job. I'm looking at you impartially from the outside if there are any claims made against any members, because inevitably there will be a member who was a bad apple and has to be removed. So I'm just very interested in how on earth you see that happening now that they intend to kill off the scorpion.
When the police respond to this question, please avoid responding to political questions. Don't respond to issues to do with your boss. You can respond in general of what is the issue, but don't even try to get into the dictionary when you respond.
On your strategy, I don't know which life is that one. I don't know whether I'll be going to go for budget, but I wanted maybe to hear your budget estimate in which strategy, in which program. I didn't hear that. And also, we know there are strategies in place and there are percentages on packaging, of packaging those programs. But what I've realized in the presentation is that how are we going to, the strategies are on paper, but as a person who is doing this monitoring, I don't know what strategy, for example, if I can take your strategy of preventing of attacks of killing of police officials, how are we going to do that? Is there any problem? And also estimate here in time frame, you said from May to June, how are we going to target? Maybe to increase bulletproof vest by an estimated budget of how much you want to hear that, so that we could be able to monitor whether in your strategy we've been able to achieve that target program. I will then give over
to
Madam Mujer, I'm sorry, Annalisa, I think
Thank you. When dealing with contact crimes, you were given the percentages of detection rate and conviction rate as targets. But when dealing with organized crime, there is silence on that. What is the reason? What is your target conviction rate when it comes to organized crime? The other one is about the business train that has been launched lately by the Minister Kadele. When you talk about priority crime rates in the railway environment, specifically the business train, are you going to ensure that on every train there is sufficient policy to ensure that people do not stay away from that because of criminal activity? And secondly, on that one, business people will be expected to leave their cars at the station. Now, is the police going to help provide security for those cars to ensure that they are not stolen, because that would defeat the purpose if they leave the cars at the stations and when they come in, this is the cars aboard. And the last one for now. The last one for now, prevention of attacks and the killing of police officers. Now, you say you have a strategy to prevent that, and I'm interested in the how part. How are you going to do that? Because there are still police officers who use public transport. You see them in Texas. And they are not as credible, obviously, when they're in Texas. So how are you going to prevent the attacks and the killing of the police?
Thank you. I'll keep over to you.
I will start and then my colleagues will take add on further questions. In terms of the employment equity target, we are compliant with the Employment Equity Act, which recognizes the 75-25 split in terms of race and gender. So in terms of the Employment Equity Act, 75% constitutes black and 25% constitute white. And the same split is for male and female. We further break down in our employment equity plan black into colored, Indian, and African. So those are the targets that are set.
Madam Chair, I think in terms of the stolen vehicles, it's necessary to notice that we have constant liaison with our neighboring countries through the SARCO structures established. We also have continuous joint operations with our neighboring countries, and one of the main purposes is really to focus on stolen vehicles. Now, we know that in various of the countries, we still do have a lot of vehicles in towns. So this is a continuous action from the side of the police. I think possibly Commissioner Lalo, who is now the detective chief, can also give an indication in this regard. On the detection rate, the family members of people known to one another involved in the crime, possibly Commissioner Lalo can also give a further indication. On the budget estimate, Madam Chair, I'm not good with figures. I will not try my hand on that. I think Stefan will give a good indication. On the business strength, Commissioner Shabalala is here, who is in charge also of the railway police, so I think he can give an indication what they are already doing and what they intend to do. And I think in terms of the attacks on the police members, it's necessary to look at a comprehensive plan in this regard. Comprising on one side, for example, training of the police members, the special weapons and tactics type of training, equipment of the members, such as the bulletproof vest. But then one of the main issues in this regard is command and control, to force the members to wear their protective gear. And I think members of the committee have already indicated to us, when you visit police stations, that not all members do wear the protective gear. They complain in summer that it is too hot. Sometimes they complain that the plates that you put inside the bulletproof vest is too heavy, and that they do not wear it. So a main issue to focus on is the issue of command and control, to make sure that the members do implement the training that they are given to wear their protective gear. Then it also concerns support to certain stations where we do have high incidence of attacks against members, where members from other units, such as the organized crime unit members, they do assist stations, members of the intervention unit, or even in some instances the special task force, assist stations. It also concerns providing special vehicles to certain stations where we do have a high incidence of attacks, such as armored vehicles. I think, sir, when you indicated that they do travel on public transport, etc., it is impossible to prevent everything, because if you look at the list of members being queued, you will see we have a list of members queued on duty, and then a list of members queued off duty. We've asked ourselves many questions on why are they being queued off duty. Is it to get hold of the firearm? There are certain conclusions, but I think you can't really say it is only to get hold of the firearm. In some instances, we found where detectives did certain investigations and were on the brink of breakthroughs that they are attacked against those members. So it's a multitude of reasons that one can put on the table why the members get attacked off duty. I think it's necessary to look at the improvement. Yesterday evening, Madam Chair was reading a book, and sometimes we forget, and I looked at the number of members who were killed in 1990, and in actual fact it was 226. It's 100% more than we have at this time. One member is too many for us, but I think we can already see improvement in terms of decreases. What we would like to see is a total eradication of this. But I think there is a comprehensive plan to deal with. Maybe Commissioner Ray or Commissioner Shabalala should deal with some of the other issues.
He was dealing with the why. My question was not the why, my question was how. Because I'm talking about prevention. My question is how and not why.
How, not why?
Yeah. You mean how the strategy is working? The training is part of the how. Providing equipment is part of the help. The deployment of members to support, that is members from certain specialized units, is part of the help. So there is an identification of the area where we have a high incidence of these type of crimes. Christopher is providing it to us on a weekly basis now. So we evaluate those stations on a weekly basis and look at, do they need specific training? Are the command and control systems in place? Do they have the equipment, and do they wear the equipment? Do we have to support them with additional members? So that is the help that we implement on a continuous basis to deal with the problem.
Can I just add? You know what we're finding as a trend, that as soon as we have strategies to address certain issues, we get outsmarted. For example, now that we are so strict about the bulletproof vest, you find that members are getting shot on their necks and their heads. So, you know, it just continues to remain challenges for us, and we have to be innovative and creative and evaluate those cases so that we pick up trends timely. I'm not sure how we will address the current threat that we have.
Of course.
Chairperson, may I? The concern is those members who are using public transport, because even members in the taxi, a bulletproof vest is not going to help them. Even a gun is not going to help them. So is there anything that is done for members that have used public transport for the taxi?
Yes,
Ma'am, I think once we look at protecting members using public transport, we'll have to protect each and every member of the police service. Maybe the focus on public transport, and in this regard, as you know, we do have a transport security plan in cooperation with the Department of Transport, where we deal with especially risk areas, where we know that there's conflict between specific associations, conflict on certain routes. We deploy members on those routes. But if you start looking at each and every individual member, protection of each and every individual member, it's not possible. As you know, however, for transport, we do give assistance to our members in terms of transport. I think there was already an indication that we are doing too much in certain areas when we do provide police transport to our members. However, one should take into account that if you work, for example, in a station area such as Santa, I don't even see someone around this table on our side, maybe from these on your side, that can live in Santa. You can't buy property in Santa. So maybe they will live in Alex, or some of them even in Soshanguve, and we have to take them to work. There is an allegation, ma'am, that we are using police transport in this regard. However, one should also take into account that you do not have transport systems everywhere readily available in view of the fact that we work shifts. On some shifts you do have a lot of transport, other shifts you do not have a lot of transport. So fact is, we have to make also plans in our own environment to transport them to work to see that our shifts can run.
Commissioner Nama?
Yes, thanks. In regard to the recovery of vehicles from neighboring countries, this is an ongoing challenge that we have. In most cases, we generally do recover the vehicles without much hassle. But because of the lack of coordination or harmonization of legislation between the two countries, in each specific case, it has its own dynamics. I am conceding that to overcome the whole problem of let me give a simple example. A car is stolen from South Africa, goes to Namibia, and in Namibia it's sold to a person. Now the person who bought the car has bought the car legitimately. So these are some of the complications that we're having to deal with in relation to the framework. But in August, at the annual general meeting of SAPCO, when we're discussing the outstanding vehicles that we have on our list, we have the annual meeting and then we discuss the different countries, the SADC region countries, in terms of how vehicles come back. These issues are going to be raised bilaterally between the interministerial committees of those countries, the outstanding issues. In regards to the murder that's committed within circles of people that know each other, one of the difficulties that we're having is, firstly, from the onset, I must say that we do have a capacity problem. I don't want to deny it at localized level. We do have a capacity problem in handling some of the dogs. But be that it may be, in the cases that where we have managed to be able to deal with the document, we find that there are other influences in the process of changing of statements by the immediate family, by reconsidering the position and what have you. So a simple case of an assault or an attempted murder becomes a complicated, long-winded case, and eventually, because of a contradiction of events that have taken place, we find ourselves grappling in the air. The other issue, I think I'll leave it to Commissioner Mokotra.
Thank you, Commissioner. If one looks at, again, why does the detection rate look so high and why does the conviction rate look so high? Exactly what the Commissioner has explained. Many of these cases, thousands of these cases, are withdrawn in court by the complainant. Either the complainant withdraws, the complainant doesn't pitch up for court, or the perpetrator doesn't pitch up for court, then it means we have to reinvestigate to go and look for the perpetrator. So these things happen. And this is addressed by currently by the criminal justice system to look at a conviction rate throughout the criminal justice system, which includes the SAPS, the NPA, and correctional services. At this stage, it's very difficult, but I'm part of the process, so I know about this. If one looks at the organized crime cases, we are silent in terms of what about the conviction rate of organized crime cases. Now, we indicated we're looking at organized crime and we're going to benchmark it because how our systems work, the CAS system, crime administration system, and the old SAP 6 system, which you call the crime management information system, these two systems reach each other. It focuses on the crime. In other words, organized crime may be organized crime, but a lot of crimes constitute organized crime. It could be in terms of vehicles, it could be in terms of hijackings and whatever. And what is the crime that's reflected on the system? It is a murder or a hijacking or whatever. So it is included in the contact related and other property crimes.
Sir, does that follow up?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think I follow that argument because why should organized crime be separated from other contact crimes? If they have the presentation there as a target and it has been separated from contact crimes that have detection rates and conviction rates, why can't they have the same for organized crime?
Chairperson, the organized crime part of it looks at various, let's say, types of crimes. Let's say vehicle crimes, vehicles are being robbed to, to hijack, to transport drugs. So it's a lot of cases which constitute organized crime. We can look at the multifaceted of organized crimes, looking at vehicle hijacking, looking at bank robbery, looking at corruption, so that's a multifaceted. Then we can look at the single faceted one, which only could look at, for instance, organized crime regarding a vehicle syndicate. That is why we have the problem of organized crime, because it's organized. But in our systems, it indicates when a person is found guilty, is in terms of a murder as a result of the organized crime, or murders, and of hijackings, or whatever the case. That is the, currently what our systems indicates for us.
I just wanted to say that with regard to this business train, it comes at a time when we have already started with what we call rollout of the railway policy. We started in 2004-05 financial year in Western Cape. We've completed that project. The reduction of crime committed in trains is almost 3% based on what we are reading in collaboration with Metro Rail alone. That it's easy to displace crime off trains. So the business train will come when almost the railway environment is covered nationally, because we are implementing it in Gauteng, KZN, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and part of the what you call a port of entry where there's a railway line. We have a capacity there. So this business train is coming when already there's something being done in terms of policing and railway. And then there's a second question that spoke about the security of vehicles. Metro Rail, together with the Department of Transport, as they implement this business train, they also identify parking areas, the security system, they are assisting them with that, and they will be responsible for their protection of their own assets. They are trying to beef up their own in-house security. They have contracted security to other private companies that we help to accredit. So it's a collaborative effort between police, Department of Transport, Metro Rail, the rollout of this railway environment.
Thank you.
Chairperson, a question on the budget estimate. I think when Commissioner Skitter is going to do his part of the presentation, the estimates and what is allocated to each part of the program becomes clearer then.
And training. What is being allocated for training? Because I think at this moment, training is on social media, especially when we spoke about how we prevent the police as can your response. But training is one of the issues that we raised. So we're expecting to hear from you, Commissioner, how much is it that you have to train. Then I'll give to Annelies van Wyk after yourself, Babanjo, that they want to jump, and then you'll be the last one in the column.
Sorry, I was just asking about a question.
Is a follow-up?
No, it hasn't been answered. I know you...
Oh, it is something that you have asked, and you may...
Absolutely. I was wanting to know which division was going to be responsible for monitoring any criminal activity within SAP, and I didn't ever get a response.
So the division, did you hear the division?
Okay.
We must have a monitoring in place.
Chairperson, there are actually two divisions responsible because there's two functions. So when there's criminal activity, it's firstly following the normal process and it's handled by the division of Commissioner Lala, the detective handle the criminal part of it. And then internally, in terms of disciplinary measures, internally, it's handled by the Division Personnel Services.
Over to you, Mr. May.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to comment on one of the answers, I think Commissioner Price refers to 1990 and the number of police officers that were killed then compared to now. I think we also need to keep in mind that was political instability as well. And that what concerns us is the rate of increase since 1994 that is criminal rather than political. And I think that we need to divide those. Chairperson, my question refers to the border control. If I'm not mistaken, the department in March 2009, has taken over border control completely. In the State of the Nation debate, it was one of the key components that the President spoke about in terms of improvement of delivery there. Yet, if you look at visible policing as well as, I think the other one under which it falls is... There's very little said about how you're going to improve the situation. In fact, there's two paragraphs in the annual performance plan. There are only two paragraphs referring to this. A very small paragraph basically repeating one another. And I don't see from what we've been given here, I'm not comfortable that the cluster's findings and the Auditor General's findings on the border control is addressed. And I would like to have a clearer idea about what it is that SAP are going to do to improve that situation and what is the amount that are going to spend on it and what are your performance other than the number of vehicles recovered, the number of guns. We need to know practically what's going to happen at the borders, because what we find at the borders currently is an absence, and we need to know how it's going to be improved.
Thank you, Ms. Sanbei. That's why I said that when I started that I think we must make a difference. Because if I have said that when I went through that report, it would be doing justice to just passing by as if everything went at the border. We will have to have a day where we are going to sit with members of the police and they must brief us and tell us what is it that's going on there. Of all the findings that we as members of parliament and also the auditor general that we raised in this report, is there anything that has been done by the police? Because as much as I can remember, when I visited the police officers in the border, I saw frustrated and very sad police officers at the border. That's all that I can remember. They were so happy to see us because they thought that we were coming to their rescue. But unfortunately, we were just doing our oversight work as members of parliament. Now we want to know, since that time up to now, is there anything that has been done? Is the situation much better than at the borders than what we saw in July last year? That's why I'm saying that even those issues that we raised, those are issues that came across at the borders. And there are something that is mentioned in the report, if I remember very well, something like 77 million, if I remember very well, that when I read that thing yesterday for this financial aid. That's why I'm saying that it's very important that you sit in a full-fledged meeting and debate or discuss the issue of the border. Now that Ms. Van Wey is raising the issue that you say that by the 31st of March 2009, we expect the police to take completely over the border, then it needs our attention. We need to discuss this. We need to assist each other in order for us to have an effective border control.
There are two questions that I want to raise. I didn't hear anything about the act of violence against the farming community. In other words, the farmers and the people who are working in the farming community. If you look at the percentage of property-related crime, do you really want me to believe that it's 11%? The cases are 11%. I thought there is something wrong with the percentage or something like that. It can't be 11%, 15%, and 11%. Can somebody elaborate on that? Because to me, it seems like it's too low. When I think that the crime related to property at this moment in time is very high than the other crime that is taking place in the country. I don't know, Madam Chair, what does it mean? Maybe I don't understand correctly. Maybe I don't understand the sentiments that are being portrayed here. What does it mean that to be benchmarked in 2008-2009? What does that mean? In a simple way, in a simple English, what does it mean? Does it mean that there is no figures, or there will be no figures, or what does it really mean?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for
your
My question is related to the safety at the school. So I haven't heard anything such as there was maybe an strategy for preventing school because of now the crime is now starting at school. I would like to be told something about that. Now, the second question is that on program 2, number of high contact crime stations, where sector policing is implemented. They say, where sector policing is implemented. We are expecting by now that all the politicians should have implemented the sector policing. Now, maybe perhaps we should be told on the target that at least how many percentage of police sectors will have been implemented by what year, so that we should know that whether we are making progress in implementing this police sector. Lastly, is this one of police security themselves? I went to police stations, just drove in there, just parked my car there, just went about, home about there. Nobody asked me what I was doing. If I carried bombs or guns, anything could have happened if I was a criminal. Now, I just want to know, how do you protect the buildings of the police themselves so that people could, not only the police themselves, but the property of the police also to be protected? I've seen many police stations were in that fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I was going to find out about the program of prevention of the farm workers. No, the farm workers, because I didn't hear anything with regard to that. Also, the question of preventing the prevention of this building. My question, because truly speaking, when you go to this police station, you just enter into the police station, you go wherever you want to go. No questions, they don't ask you anything. What if you have got something that you are prepared to do there? They don't ask you anything. That's the question.
My question, in fact, it has been asked, but I am not
sufficiently satisfied it with the visible policy. There it says on the target, it decreased in 2008 from 2009. I just want to know, is that a target? Escapes from police custody and so on. How has it decreased? How much? Because these escapes are still continuing. What exactly is the target that they are working towards?
We will then give over to you to respond, unless there are some questions, because we will break for tea after your response. And then when we come back, we will then focus on the balance. Unless I want to ask anything with this presentation, because I want to open for it after we come back. Ms. Pandey?
Chairperson, I want to add another question. There was a report 2 weeks back in the Mail and Guardian. Now, I mean, we don't take what is published in the media as a given. But many of the things that was in that article, in those articles, it was actually a couple of articles, are things that we've experienced on the ground as well. And it relates specifically to detective services. And what worries me again is an issue that we've talked about before, the police lack of responding to some of these issues. Now, this was a report that they somehow got their hands on of the 9 retired police commissioners that Commissioner Levy appointed at some point in time to investigate why there are these problems with police. So I think without us just simply disregarding this issue, we need to look at the issues at hand that they raised there. And I think one of the main concerns that we have is the fact that we haven't seen that report. Obviously, we would love to see it if we can. But the fact of the matter is that they raise the issue that still there are a huge shortage of detectives, trained detectives in this country. They estimate it's more or less 3,300 and something, if I remember correctly. They also indicate that commissioned police officers in the detective services, like captains and so forth, are not handling any cases. They're not carrying any dockets. There's no career path for detectives. And I mean, if that's the case, it's no wonder that we are losing detectives. Can we just get some sort of feeling also, from specifically from the side of detectives and from human resources? What are we doing? I mean, we're increasing the budget on an annual basis. Salary, we say to you, make special compensation for people with specialized skills, we give money for training, but yet we are not retaining of people. What are we doing? What are you doing to address these issues? Because I think these are crucial issues. We can double the police force. If we don't start addressing these issues, we're not going to succeed.
Is there any other questions? Because I won't open it for questions again.
If I've quite forgotten, we were wanting to know why there was in the budget, and I don't know if that should wait for the budget section perhaps, but it might straddle this issue of the new police station, because they have really dropped dramatically the allocation to new stations, and I don't know who would answer that, speak to that issue, but it does seem to me to be a priority.
Thank you very much. I think that question is very important, because I was also going to raise the issue of the new police station. Because as we are public residents, we do have members of parliament who reside in other provinces who are not members of this committee that come to us because of the problem of the facilities of the police station. I think one person approached my office recently, I can't remember which province, where the police has been operating in a four-room house. I don't know up to when, up to this day. And then it was a satellite station, but now it's a two-flex station, but there are no facilities, you know. And you can't expect the members of police to have a very high morale. Also, you can't expect effectiveness from the police if we are working under those conditions. So I think I agree with you that we need to propose what is happening there. And just before you respond, I think also I will ask a favor from you, Commissioner Tim, that not in this meeting, but you need to send us Mpumalanga and Northwest. We want to know the impact made when we did our restructuring. And also, I want the names of those places in the entire province which were affected by the movement of the personnel from one state to both provinces, Mpumalanga and Northwest. That's right, yeah. Why I'm saying that this year, recently there was this outcry in all the newspapers about what is happening in those two provinces. I gave myself time during the constituency period. I took two members from the committee. I went with them just one police station because there was a lot of stations that were mentioned, but I picked just on one station. And then I went to that station in Mpumalanga, the bad blood. And it was an unannounced message. They did not know that we were coming. And what we came across there was infection. Because you ask yourself, it is happening in Batlan. What about the other stations that you don't know about? And it's so sad when this thing came up, only when the media discovered this thing. As much as we say that we don't believe what the media most of the time says, but in some instances, they are also members of the community. They do live in this community. They do come across this thing. And then I decided then to go to this police station. And I contacted members of the portfolio committee who reside in Mpumalanga. I went to them there. And what I saw there, Commissioner, I've never come across such a thing. You know, I saw this. You know, the, what do you call it? I hope my government when you dance and do everything that you want. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
You know? When I just want to give a picture of what we came across when we went there. The first thing, in the same yard or whatever you call it, there is a small court, which is a good thing. There is a small court which deals mainly with cases of domestic violence and what and abuse, which is good, yeah. Because I understand that the distance between this specific police station and the main court is something like 80 kilometers. And so those have not, it's easier for them then to get to the station. But when we arrived at this specific police station, nobody knew that we were going there. I was the one who was leading the delegation. I had to knock at the door and say that somebody here, and somebody very young and very tired came from somewhere. No, the door was open, but there was no body, there was no soul. No, the door was not closed, it was open. You know, we it's how we do our thing, really. We know, you can't just get in. Yeah, even if they're police, especially when you see that there's no body, you have to know so that you can make them aware that somebody's, I don't know what, how to bypass people then handle that when they go to the police station. But all in all, here comes this student from South, very young and very, very, very tired. The morale was so down. Yeah, the morale was so down. And where's the open young man? He came and tired. When he came, he was actually bored. He was nice and bored while he was there. But when I said to him, I'm from Cape Town, Calabi, he started saluting all over the place. And I told him that we are here to rescue you guys. You are not here to fight with them. What is your problem? Why don't you deliver? What is happening in this station? Can you call me your station commissioner, please? He went for something like 5-6 minutes, and while he was standing there, here comes this guy with a drill at his hand, in overall, and I didn't even look at him, and then he said, this is the comment. And I said, I'm looking for you. Yeah. And again, I said, no, I'm looking for the station commissioner. I'm not looking for you. He said to me, I'm the station commissioner. I said, but I'm looking for a police officer. I'm not looking for a layman here. Why are you not in uniform if you're a police officer? Where is your name tag? Where is your white bus? It is Jakarta, Bintang. It is Jakarta. I said, I want a police officer here. I want a station commissioner and I want all you police officers. There was no soul in that station. We went around the station. We were looking for this toilet, which we alleged that they were locked for white and blacks had their own toilets. You know, in the newspapers, their own toilets. We went all over, we wanted to see the cells. And the newspaper article, you know, I've never seen such an arrogant person like that station commissioner. He was so arrogant. In each and every door, he's got that Sowetan article on the door. Each and every door, each and every office, he's got the article. That's arrogant. He's intimidating everybody. You see? And when I asked him, what's happening here? They are the most one man society. Now everybody must know that we're racist at this station. However, you don't handle me like this. You don't handle me like this. You are going to sit down. You are going to tell me what is happening. And you are going to call all your management. I didn't see even one. We left that place after 6 hours. We haven't seen even one manager. We had to call both crew and ask one of the union. And luckily, somebody from the detectives, head of detectives, arrived. And then they spoke with us, they gave us the information, tell us what is happening. And the station commissioner just vanished. He vanished. You know, after some few minutes or some few hours, he came back with a doctor's letter saying that he's very ill and that he's a patient of a high risk of heart attack. He's being victimized by parliament. You see? And then I read that doctor, and then I said, but this is not a doctor. Okay? So he's gone and get one of the friends, farmer, and write a letter on his behalf and say that he was ill. You went to the cell. You find funny things in the cell. And then, I mean, how can you keep people in the cell for something like 7 months? 7 months in the cell. You see, they are immigrants. Some of them couldn't even understand how they, because they don't even understand us, but they have been kept there for 7 months. And then you say that you are a manager, and you say that everything is well in the station. And whilst we were doing that, one of the police officers arrived and we asked them, what is happening here? Can I get a list of all the personnel of the station? That's why I'm saying that I want a list of instructors. You get people who got into the service 1976-77. They're still on staff. You get people who got into the service 1979-1980. They're still inspectors. How come? What is it that's needed for a person to be promoted? You see? Even the station commissioner, the fact that he's behaving like that, because he thinks that he's running, I think he's running his family's business there. No, we didn't get the chickens when we arrived there. We heard about the chickens, but we didn't, I'm talking about what I came across. I didn't see the chickens. These are some of the things that we came across. And there was also a pending case against the commissioner, theft case, which is a criminal case. They said that the commissioner had stolen the station commissioner cigarettes that were taken on a hijack truck, and they were taken, they were put at the station, and he decided to take them to his house. And then they went, and then the house was set, and then they got hold of those cigarettes. But he's still managing the station. And you ask yourself, if that is happening in this one, what is happening at other places? And then, believe you me, after that visit, I received a pile from other police stations. A pile, it's such a big pile in my office. From people from other stations, even from the police themselves. say, like, please come to our rescue. This is what is going on here. You wanted, we wanted to see their, what you call it, this, the sheep, whatever, root, what do you call it? Rooster. Because they were saying that the white police officers don't unite people. They only do their duty. And then I said, I want to see the rooster for a month. And in there, it was like that. There was no white on that rooster. Only black. Now, are we expecting those people to deliver? No way. They will never be able to deliver. Luckily, since I'm saying that the place is near to a small court, we also spoke then to some people who came to court here and asked them about their relationship with the police. Yeah, you know? And I think there is this complaint from members of the police, because when they hear that you're around, I don't know where they went, but because everybody is doing his own business or their own business, they all came. All of a sudden, everybody was there. And as I was saying that, you know, Chairperson, there is this T-class thing here that a lot of money is being taken from us, but we don't get report of what is happening with this fund. I said, but I'm not going to be involved in administrative issues. But they said, somebody must do something about this. I said, who is the chairman of the club? No, the chairman of the club is the commissioner, the station commissioner, and the secretary is the wife. Why have you seen such a thing? Funny things are happening. I think members of parliament, sometimes when we visit these provinces, we must stop interacting with senior management and go down to the station and speak to the junior people, the ones that are affected. Because what they've seen in that station is an abnormal thing. And I'm saying that after that, there is a lot of letters. I'll give you a letter from one station, but there's no person's name, but there are case numbers that are people that case so and so and case so and so and case so and so, the station name, station commissioners are involved. So I didn't see a sole police officer who is a female in that station. They are all men in that station. If they are females, the way they were cooking somewhere, because we got another one who is cooking for a waiting client something. I have to explain that this is not your job. Your job is to do criminal investigation or whatever, but not to cook for the awaiting time. And also, we make it very clear that those are not correctional services facilities. You can't keep people here for 7 months. When you feel that you want to let them go, we know at least somebody did brief us why they are doing that. There is something behind the whole thing. But I won't say that because it's still being investigated. The reason why they are being kept there, it's still being investigated. I'm waiting for that investigation to come through to me then.
Don't forget his wife is working from home.
You see? You can't do that. The wife is an inspector, is working from home. He's removed the furniture from the office at the police station into his home, into her home, because it's not well. I don't know. No. Let us do something. There is a very good way that is being done by the police. But when you've got some people doing what I'm saying now, you don't even see it, because now it's a good thing that I'm doing for you. Because there are very good work that is being done in position. There are some police stations who are doing, you know, who are excelling in what is expected from them. But because of this rotten element, you don't even see it. Maybe sometime you would also need to get a presentation from yourself that how ready are you when it comes to the president's work from them. Because whether we like it or not, police are supposed to be raised by now. So that's the question that's being asked all over where we're going there. If the police are doing this now, I wonder how are they going to cope with this. But we want really to assure the citizens of this country that the police are ready. Maybe late this year we need to do that. Now we're going to focus on these other issues that are very important.
I want to go back to the question that was raised by Honorable Hassan and taking into account what we have been saying also. I'm sure the issues that we have raised, that we have come across as bad black politicians, are part of the report that was given by these retired commissioners. And it will be helpful, I think, to have access to that report so that the problems that are raised in that report can be addressed. when you look at those key strategic initiatives, the first one is National Crime Combat Strategy. When the report says there is no such, the report allegedly says there is no such, the provinces are doing their own thing. So we need to say there is such because the report was put together by the retired commissioner. Now, if they say there is no national strategy, and here we are told there is a national strategy, something is wrong somewhere, or somebody's not been truthful and honest. So I think it would be helpful, Chairperson, if we get hold of that report, go through it, and meet with the management to tell us exactly what is wrong, and so that they can tell us how they're going to correct the wrongs that are there. The corruption that you spoke about is also there, the corruption prevention strategy. And yet this corruption is going ahead. What you're talking about has surprised. I looked at their facial and body language. Some of them are surprised and even embarrassed by what you say. Corruption is taking place and they are not aware of it. So I think it will be helpful in order to solve the problem, to get hold of that report.
Thank you. Chair,
when we had some feedback on the decrease in the allocations for the new police stations, it was quite a surprise to me because we know we have the police working out of containers. And here around Cape Town, quite an extraordinary move there. But the other thing, I think, if we could ask for input on the forensic laboratories, information about the new forensic laboratories, what is the progress there? Because the backlog is still enormous in our labs, despite tens of millions of rands being spent on new machinery. It just doesn't seem to have caught up or even maintained the levels of laboratory work that are needed. Thank you.
Thank you. We know that you can't be everywhere, and you can't be everywhere, but let some more then try and do something. We know that you really can't be, you are like members of parliament, you can't be everywhere, but let's try and see that people at provincial level do what is expected from the behind on this government. You can't always say that when things are supposed to be attended to, that parliament is the one that is supposed to be there, because really we think you need to be hired. And also, today, I would be so pleased if we can get an honest report, a straightforward report, yes or no. Are there enough bulletproof? Bulletproof. Are there enough bulletproof? Because we've got such a conflicting statement from the provinces when we invited them here. I don't need even a long thing, just a yes or no. You don't even give me figures. If you said they're not enough, then I'm satisfied. And then I'll attend to that next time. Because we are really receiving a conflicting statement when it comes to the issue of Amapu.
The question that I should have asked Chairperson is whether the commissioners or the senior management have seen that report. Whether they agree with the report or they disagree with the report. Is there anything that they have done? That's correct. Right. And what are they doing about the damning facts of the cabinet of 24?
So many questions, so that they can respond when you come back. Okay. Let us break for tea, then you respond, and when you come back.